All right. The poets, we have one poem apiece because there's a whole bunch. This is Ken, and it looks like it's pronounced chicka 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 chicka. Ken, where you at? I know you're somewhere. All right, Ken. That's not my fault. That's yours. That's, eyes are getting old. And, you know,
right. Actually, I think it's my dad's fault, but...
I understand. How do you pronounce it?
Kiakia.
Say it again?
Kiakia. This one's called Corpse. It isn't the corpse that bothers me, floating, silent in the flood's backwater. Face down, she could be a Recessa Annie, spike with cadaver scent to train the dogs. It's the husband who scares me, back at the command post, ashen, facing the enormity of the road ahead. I watch him try to thank us, friending his torment, if not his pain. But muted by grief, he only smiles and turns away so we can't see his face. I see myself in him, a lonely old man rattling around the house, freed at last of a woman telling him what to do. A searcher lost. It isn't the corpse that bothers me.
Ken Chikawa. Okay, got it pretty close. It's my overbite. It's not. If I'd had braces when I was a kid, I wouldn't have this problem. Christopher Ferrier. Where you at, Christopher? You're here somewhere. Chris, where you at? Chris. Oh, sorry, Chris.
Go, Christopher.
Okay, if you want it there. Ah, well, here we go again. Okay, this is called The Time Traveler's Husbands. Let me make one thing clear. I never intended to be a time traveler. I'd never even thought about it. But once the traveling started, it was zap here and zap there, and I didn't plan on having three husbands either. The first one's Burkai. He's one of Genghis Khan's soldiers. He wanted to marry me, so I agreed. I mean, there I am in the desert with, like, zero survival skills, and he's really a decent barbarian. And then there's Jor Allen from the way far future. He's the most gorgeous man I've ever seen. Of course, everyone is beautiful 7,000 years from now. Jor Allen's people got tired of virtual worlds and where individuals controlled everything, and they had themselves recreated as humans. They're living in a recreated, unpredictable Earth. He is acting as my guide, and, well, one thing leads to another. He asked me to marry him because it's traditional in my original time. And of course I say yes. And then there's Ed. I turn up in the 1950s New York City, where I'm working as a secretary when we meet. Ed is really a very sweet guy. He buys me roses. But he's very, really traditional too. So when he asked me to marry him, I decide I'd better tell him about the time travel and Burkai and Jor Allen. He gets upset about it. He says, I can't have three husbands at the same time. So I explain it to him. Burkai lives in the 13th century. This is the 20th century. He's been dead for 700 years. It's like I'm his widow. And Jor Allen hasn't even been born yet. He won't be for 7,000 years. So I'm not married to him yet. Ed thinks this over. We're getting married next month.
Thank you, Christopher. All right. That was nice. That was nice. Really good stuff. Marcia. It's not really my fault again. Look at the spell. Come on, Marcia. All right, come on. Why do you see the next name?
You want to say that one?
Yeah, say that one.
Oh my God, thank you. It's a tough
thing.
Thank you.
You know, you teach math and you get all these. I've got it from six pages to one. Yay. Solomon's Wisdom. You're Pittsburgh, I'm Oregon. You're Pennsylvania. I'm Portland. Sometimes these differences are as small as nothing. Drugs and alcohol exacerbate mom's anger. The yellow bruises mark your tear tracks. Grandpa wanted only sons. He had only daughters. Whore, Jezebel, slut, still reverberate. In a whirlwind's eye, mom phoned. 3 hours later, dust settled leaving. 4 children, aged 5 through 8. 5 packed bags of worn, poorly fitting clothes. 1 estranged aunt, and 2 killer pizzas from Belserio's. No Jason, no hitting, on my lap for 5 minutes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, Brian, your medicine is hidden in the pudding. A blue couch holds your dry tears now, a softened pleas of gentle reassurances released old scars. No, David, you can't breathe in that cabinet. With 3 nephews peering from behind drilled door holes, I quietly listened to your giggles, waited for your tears to pass, waited for your monsters to leave, waited. Your mother and I went into the kitchen away from everyone that night, not touching, standing close. Only these words penetrate summer's hot, muggy air. I will love your children as my own. I know, she answered. On the kitchen table laid the signed, tear-stained release paper.
Thanks, Marcia. This is a tough one here. I'll blame my eyes. It looks like Nancy Hoy. Oh, why? Harold, tell me what that is. I don't. Hey, Nance, how can I mess that up? Come on. Nance, your writing's worse than mine. That's great. Worse than my spelling. That's great.
Oh, just a little bit's good. Thank you. All right. Kate's going to know what this is about. And I'm unplugged. All right. Dive. The cold crushes me in its fist, squeezing my breath. Surface. Gasp. My hands slice the gray wave. Catch. Pull through. Arm over. Breathe. Inside my gut's a furnace, driving my arms and legs an imperfect machine. The cold gnaws my feet and hands. I pop above the chop to sight. Where's the boy? There's the boy. It's orange, and it's over there, and I have to swim for it. Swim for it 3 times around the 3 times around the course, 5,000 meters in Lake Michigan. In the rain, with my mother and my sister, all of us churning the waves. We came to Chicago to swim, and we are swimming, damn it. 62 degrees in the water and a 2-foot chop. Stroke, stroke, stroke. Breathe. The cold catches another swimmer in its teeth. Even his blue 70 wetsuit isn't going to save him. He's rowed back to shore. Stroke, stroke. The cold catches my arm. It twists it, gnaws it, and turns it into a cramp. I can stop anytime. I can raise my hand and call the safety boat. One hand in front of the other. In the water. Stroke. Stroke. Breathe. I can't feel the water anymore. And then I can't feel the sand under my feet as I stagger across the finish line. My sister swims in, and then my mother. Together on shore, shivering in triumph. We're drunk on dry towels and warm hoodies. And the cold slinks back into the lake. Yeah, our times are crap. Maybe next year.
Thanks, Nance. Margaret, where you at? Margaret?
Hi.
How do you say your last name, Bashar?
Bashar, yes.
All right, we're going to do this extra confusing. Dan and I wrote these poems together, and he was supposed to go next. We're switching. He's going first, so we're making this completely confusing. I'm sorry.
So these are collaborations. So who wrote what?
It's kind of, at this point.
Yeah, they've been blended. So the first poem is called Starlight Braid. When the situation breeds pandering, thaw one chicken breast. Drink your red wine in a mug. Expect dilation of pupils, the clap of clammy hands. You will be full of nothing but good ideas. Set fire to the husks, the bruised ribs of dust. They are not welcome here. And when your neighbor's cat is singed, when the fire spreads to your cabbage patch, rest assured it is for the best. Look to the colander sky. Breathe in the constellation of sighs. If you have two hands, they cannot be empty of what falls into them.
All right. This one's titled Twins. We once tried to join at the hip, paper mache'd ourselves together, used all the flour we had, mixed it with black cherry Faygo. The bubbles popped, strips of newspaper slid down our legs. We read snippets of obituaries, but everyone we knew in those days was immortal. When you went away, people said we would dress alike, have the same job, but there is only room in this world for so many rogue taxidermists.
That was Margaret and Danny Shapiro. You related to the attorney Shapiros? Okay. You can hope. I was going to try to hit you up for some cash. All right. Bruce, where you at here? Bruce? Where's Bruce? Come on, Bruce.
How you doing, guys? I never did this kind of thing before. That'd be cool. I'm a little taller than the most of the other people. but it's my girlfriend's daughter's birthday. She invited me tonight. I've been pleasantly surprised because I've been touched by all the readings. Expression is the greatest way for us to release energy. It's important. It dictates and tells what our character is like. I went to Haiti in 1999 on a mission trip, and I wrote this. It's called Who Am I? Who am I, O Lord? What manner of man? A being made of flesh and bones, breathed into existence by being greater than words. A man living in a world void of values. I am not seen, but I am perceived. I speak, and others hear me not. Struggling to find my way, I fall and I fail. But your mercy brings forgiveness, and your grace lifts me from the sinking sand. You always see, you always hear. Let me be like you. I move and the air stands still, and the water is unrippled, for I become a mere reflection of all I have touched and all who have touched me.
Thank you. Cool stuff, man. Bruce, and now we have Rochella. Rochella, where you at? Ooh, where you at? Oh, come on. Hunting for you.
Can everyone hear me? All right, so in the fall, I had an assignment that I had to do an imitation after Wanda Coleman, and it was What Little I Know About Truth. Well, I'm 25 today, so I decided to do my own twist to it. What Little I Know About Life. One, I'd much rather be a death rocker slash punk in spikes and chains than a beach blonde Barbie in hot pink shirts and a mini. Two, to survive the college experience of all-nighters and closing shifts, one must become a monster energy fiend. Three, those who are reliable, constant, and authentic are the ones to spend time on. Four, the one constant is change. Embrace it and count on it. Five, there are some things that are impossible to forgive, like abuse, neglect, and withholding survival. Six, heroes are rarely found. However, they are flesh and blood, humans who make mistakes. Seven, light and dark are a continual balance that one must work out. Eight, although being straight edge is near impossible, CM Punk is still my personal fantasy. Nine, religion in and of itself is nothing but rules and regulations. Most of those who practice are elitists who will shove it down your throat at every possible moment. 10. Obsessions are good. They replace reality. 11. To survive, one must stand up for personal beliefs and fight like a demon for what they want. 12. Reality is harsh, bleak, and dry. 13. It is better to have your own philosophy of life than to give in to what the majority holds true. 14. To quote London After Midnight, America is a fucking disease. Thank you.
Rose by any other name. Come on up here, buddy.
Hi. I wasn't going to read tonight. I told Jim I'm running out of poems. Yeah, my life's a poem. This one is a little different than what I usually write. It's called Stretching Freedom. How far is it to freedom? Rotate an eye in the direction of the sun. Squint. Never so far a scorched distance. Needing me to run, begging out of collapse. How far is it to freedom? I'll drive. The green discarded junk, my montage of thoughts, pile in the back seat, baking on for some time now. How far is it to freedom? Approximately. Should I pack Kleenex and antacids? Dare to think, dare I say, when I get there, will it have moved? Will it be the next and the next country away? When I get there, will there be a for sale sign in my yard? Thank you.